Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
A very warm welcome to you today to St. George's Church as we enter into what's called our season of stewardship. And we enter this four-week season every year, and stewardship is a season in the church where we ask members of the parish to make a strong and generous financial commitment to the church so that we can begin to prepare our ministry budget for 2017. And so I thought I would begin every sermon for the next few weeks with us all standing and singing the popular contemporary hymn, I Surrender All. And so, that joke crashed. I won't use it next year, I promise. But anyway, stewardship is not only a chance for us to give big, but to dream big. As we pray and discern how God is going to work through this parish over the next year to continue to take the message of the gospel, the historic but always relevant message of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus for sinners to the very ends of the earth. And every year for stewardship, as I said, we have a sermon series. And this year's series is entitled Understanding God's Indescribable Gift from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians that we heard. And the goal of this year's sermon series is to really help you understand the underlying theology of the church, what you're giving to. And that underlying theology is that theology which came out of the Reformation, which is found in St. Augustine and St. Paul and even in the prophet Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. And the way we understand that the just live by faith is through the proper distinction between these two words that God speaks to us, law and gospel. You see, that distinction between law and gospel makes God's indescribable gift, the person and work of Jesus Christ for your salvation, it makes that indescribable gift sweet and clear. And this distinction between the law and the gospel is very important because without this understanding, forget stewardship, the depth and the meaning and the power of Christianity is completely lost to you. Martin Luther once said, without this proper distinction, and it's hard to find it in churches today, most places you're getting gospel, you know, you're getting a moralism. And Luther once said, he said, without this proper distinction, it is impossible to tell the difference between the pagan religions, every other religion, and Christianity. I mean, every other religion has love your neighbor as yourself. But Christianity is the only religion that has the gospel in it, which says God has forgiven you completely for not doing so. Theodore Beza, the other great reformer, once wrote, these two words may not be commingled, nor the one substituted for the other, without a complete falsification of Christian doctrine. And this is my first point. It is my hope, and it is my prayer that over the next few weeks, as I teach this essential truth, the Holy Spirit will move over your hearts and you would cheerfully, as St. Paul says, make a pledge for 2017 to this great work that God has laid before us to take the good news through our Sunday worship and ministries like the Olmsted Salon, devotion groups, the forum, our children's programming, to the very ends of the earth. Now in the Bible, as I said, God speaks to us through these two words of law and gospel. And the first word is the law. And the law for us as Christians is culminated in what is called the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments. That's where it reaches its epoch. But it takes various shapes and forms. St. Paul in Romans chapter 2 reminds us that the law is an internal word. It's an eternal word, but it's also an internal word written on our hearts. And it manifests itself in the form of the conscience. Hence, love your neighbor as yourself is found everywhere. Now, this first word, the law, it has two primary functions. And I'm going to speak on the first function today. The first function is what is called the civil function of the law. And it's those things in nature that make the world go around. The civil function manifests itself in government. This is on one level what Jesus is talking about in our gospel reading. You do this, this, and this. There's no righteousness that comes from the civil function, if you will. You do this, this, and this because that's what you do. You're a servant. No one's going to be like, thanks for doing your job. And the civil function of the law, it's used to restrain evil as well. Simply put, as we see, stoplights, you know, because we will run and think that we're always first and run through them. You know, don't drive and text is a simple illustration. You know, smoking, listen, this is what's in cigarettes. You know what I mean? It just tells you what it is. It's seen in warning signs. And because the law, it's written on our hearts, when we see the civil use misused like we have seen in certain parts of our city with the police, or when you see what's going on in Syria, when it's misused, we're appalled because it's in our conscience and it speaks to us. And the civil form of the law also works with the idea of tit for tat or karma. That's the gospel point on one level. Increase our faith. You don't increase your faith by doing the law. What you give is what you get. That's the civil function. St. Paul points out in our epistle reading, he says this, it's just clear. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And as we've seen here at Calvary St. George's, over the last few years, as we've sowed bountifully, we've reaped a harvest. But this is my second point. The civil form of the law, in many ways, it relates to stewardship because it just says what it is. And we can do this with this size of a budget, and we can do that with this size of a budget. You know, that's how it is. And to lay the cards on the table, we need to raise about $735,000 to stay on mark with our growing and thriving ministries. And if we don't get there by the end of the month, Jim has got to go. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, that's why Ben's not here. But anyway, but St. Paul continues as he writes to the Corinthians. He says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And it's in moments like these, times of the year like this, I really wish we were Mormons. Because Mormons, they take your bank statement and automatically withdraw 10%. There are certain churches here that find out how much you make and they automatically take 10%. Now this is unbiblical. You know, but God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is a response. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, as St. Paul writes, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. And what St. Paul is doing in this statement is giving us a behind-the-curtain view, if you will, into stewardship and giving. People typically give to organizations like nonprofits or a church for one of three reasons. The first reason people tend to give to an organization is out of pressure. You know, if you don't give generously, then we'll have to shut down these amazing things, these amazing programs. If you don't give generously, well, you know, it's just, I don't know what's going to happen, but you just got to do it. And while all of this is true, pressure does not produce any sense of lasting generosity, does it? Pressure does not create a cheerful giver. I belong to an organization that is working this strategy, and actually all I want to do is run the other way. And instead of cheerfulness, eventually what I'm starting to feel is resentment. The second reason people give to an organization, like a church or something, is when pressure doesn't work, we move to the realm of guilt. If you don't give and give generously, well, you know, Sunday school's going to have to shut down. And what about the children? Don't you want to get these big speakers out of this church, you know, out of St. George's? Wouldn't candlelight be amazing without these things? If you only give more, we'd be able to do it. We'd be able to heat the church in the winter. Now, guilt may move things forward for a brief moment, But ultimately, it never, ever produces a cheerful giver either. All it does is wear people out. And the reason why these two ways don't work is because they are rooted in the law. And as we will see next week, as I will preach and hear next week, the law can never produce what it demands because it's ultimately never satisfied. We ultimately, before the law, can never do enough, can never give enough, can never say enough. And this is why Jesus in the gospel reading says, you don't increase your faith that way. Like, the law is not a ladder for you to climb. The law, just as the reformer said, semper lex accusat. The law always accuses, and it reveals. It reveals. And it reveals our need for the gospel. And so hear me on this. When you're brought before the law in terms of giving, no one is ever naturally a cheerful giver. The way one becomes a cheerful giver is you are made a cheerful giver. And one is made a cheerful giver, and this is what stewardship is all about at Calvary St. George's, is you are made a cheerful giver because you have been given an insight that to give, you have been given an insight to make a pledge from the heart without compulsion or grudge is actually a response. Let me repeat that. To give and give generously is actually a response to something that has already been generously given. I've shared this story before, but it's appropriate for stewardship. I went to the University of Arizona and I received their alumni magazine. Well, not anymore because I didn't give. But anyway, that was supposed to be really funny too. But anyway, I used to get this, and there was an article in there about a financier here in New York City who gave like something like $20 million to the University of Arizona Astronomy Department. And, you know, to the research of the president of the astronomy departments there, research into wave particles. And you begin to read this article and you realize that this guy has the least bit of interest in wave particles, as amazing and exciting as they are. He's not interested in that at all. You begin to realize as the story is that when this man was a freshman at the University of Arizona, the head of the astronomy department was a TA there. And this young man went through a nightmarish situation. His parents died, his girlfriend died, and there was just all sorts of things going wrong. And this young TA stepped in and helped him out and got him through college, let him stay with his parents there in town and let him stay and provided meals for him and all of these things. And you realize that this young financier, well, now he's an older financier, but he gave generously to the astronomy department, not because of wave particles, but he gave because he had already been given so much. He had been given his life by that professor. And you see, some people, they'll ask me, well, you know, how come, Jacob, you never talk enough about healing? Or you don't talk enough about community? Or you don't talk enough about social justice? And listen, all of that is happening here at this church, but that is never the main thing. The main thing is the proclamation of the gospel. And you see, when you have the proclamation of the gospel, all of these things become fruits. Apart from that, they become pressure. Oh, how come you don't want to come to my group? You know, they become guilty. How come you don't want to work at the soup kitchen? You see, all of that. But because of the gospel as the underlying foundation, we can say that because of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ for you, you have been, you are, and you will be healed. Because of the death and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ for you, by the power of His Holy Spirit, He is creating a new community here where we from different backgrounds can now call each other brothers and sisters. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you, because He has taken justice upon the cross, we now can serve in acts of justice and acts of mercy for the sake of our neighbor. And as you can see, over the last 4 years, with this gospel emphasis, things aren't just growing around here, they are actually blooming. And this is my third point. Because God in Christ has given you all that you need to stand justified before Him. And that the sole ministry of Calvary St. George's is to proclaim that gospel. And for those of us who have been saved by this message, it is the sweetest thing in the world. And we want everyone to hear it. And so, but we begin to see that we are free, not because of pressure or guilt, but we are free and we give out of freedom and we give generously. Heck, we make Calvary St. George's our primary charity. But we do this because, as St. Paul concludes, we are free and many will glorify God. And we hope for years to come in this church for the abundance of your confession of the gospel and for the liberality of your contribution. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of the parish, you can make an online donation at calvarystgeorges.org/giving. Thank you.